time.
I gotcha. Okay, so I apologize. We're going to apologize for being late, and especially because Mincha is 8:05, so we'll have to end on time. But we know that this week's parsha is Parshas Vaschanan. And Parshas Vaschanan and post Tisha B'Av and Parshas Devarim pre Tisha B'Av is really one of the most ironclad rules of Kriyas HaTorah. We know the Gemara Megillah has a number of rules that was set up, whether Ezra was Misakein, whoever was Misakein, the Kriya, the order, the way that we have it, one of the most ironclad rules. Some say it is the most ironclad rule, is that Devarim is always before Tisha B'Av and Vaschanan is always after Tisha B'Av. And there are a number of reasons that are given as to why we have to read Parshas Vaschanan. The Tisha B'Av always falls out in the week of Vaschanan, and the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av is always Vaschanan. We know that the Beis Yisrael of Ger would often say that one of the fundamental reasons and is something related to an idea from the Divrei Chaim, the Sanz Rav, the first Halberstam, who was a chassid, that all the Halberstam chassidim come from Divrei Chaim, is that someone once asked the Divrei Chaim, what is your best hachana for tefillah? We know, Rav Pinkus points out in Sharm B'Tefillah, we actually mentioned this on Tisha B'Av, that just stepping up to davening without some sort of hachana, without some sort of preparation, means that the davening is going to be very, very difficult, very hard. So someone once came to the Divrei Chaim of Sanz. What's like the ideal hachana for tefillah? There are those people that mamish, you know, the great tzaddik, mamish go to mikvah before every tefillah. I would see Meir Zilberberg, one of the great tzaddikim in Yerushalayim, that I try to daven by, try to go see when I'm in Eretz Yisrael, mamish before every tefillah, he comes into davening dripping wet. Not because he took a shower, you know. No comments about that, but, you know, because he goes to mikveh, mamash, before every davening, before mar, before mincha, before shachris. Every tefillah, he'll go to mikveh. So they ask the Divrei Chaim, what's the hachana? He says, you know what the best hachana is? It's that I daven right before I daven, and I say, Ribbono Shalom, please let me be able to open up my mouth, to open up my heart, let my words find acceptance before you. And said, whoa, where do you get that from? He goes, the first pasuk in Parshas Vaschanan. And Parshas Vaschanan is one of the most important parshios about Davka Tfila, because the first pasuk is Vaschanan al Adonai ba'es ha'hi lemor. Vaschanan means I pleaded with Hashem at that time, lemor saying. What does that mean? Why do you say Vaschanan al Hashem ba'es ha'hi? Adonai Elohim ata chilos elar savdcha skaluch vesevdcha chazaka. Meaning, why do the word lemor? So the Sanz Rav, Divrei Chaim says, Vaschanan al Hashem ba'es ha'hi. I pleaded with God at that time, lemor, that I should be able to speak to you, that I should be able to open up my mouth to you. And we know that the Beis Yisrael of Ger said, some say said in the name of his father, the Imre Emes, that the reason why Vaschanan is after Tisha B'Av is because in Eicha, Per Gimel Pasuk Ches, we talked about Sasam Tfilasi. Rimyo Hanavi said how, like, our tefillah got silenced, our tefillah was closed down. The world of tefillah wasn't open to us. And here in Parshas Vaschanan, we show that the world of tefillah is always open, that that was something that was very unique. We know Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us here, an idea we've discussed before, that he davens hundreds of tefillos, all for the purpose of getting into Eretz Yisrael, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, stop, not another tefillah. Because if he would have davened one more tefillah, what would have happened? Right, he would have gotten in. He would have gotten in. So the shaila is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to let him daven enough to let him get in, so why didn't Hashem tell him after once, stop now? Mamish, hundreds of tefillos. Some say the gematria of Vaschanan, over 400 tefillos, he davens. 515, no, is that what it is? What's the gematria? No, 500 and, yeah, I think it's 515. The gematria of Vaschanan, someone's good at math, please figure that out for me. What? Cheryl, the math teacher, oh, where is she? Right. So Vaschanan, you know, he davens hundreds and hundreds of tefillos, so why didn't Hashem tell him after one, you know, stop now? So Tzaddikim point out, Megalamukos and everyone else, we've discussed this before, that every tefillah said by Moshe Rabbeinu had an impact. Not the desired effect of him getting into Eretz Yisrael, but every one of his tefillos had an impact. And Tzaddikim that actually talk about what the kochos of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillos did for the Jewish people going into Eretz Yisrael, how so much of what they were able to do was because of these tefillos of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that, the Beis Yisrael says, is why we read Parshas Vaschanan right after Tisha B'Av, to show that that was unique, Sasam Tfilasi. Maybe Yirmiyahu HaNavi just felt that his tefillahs were closed out. But there's no such thing as tefillah really being closed out. And every tefillah that we say has an effect. We've discussed so many times. And in fact, this idea of the Divrei Chaim, that the most important hachana for tefillah is tefillah, is really how we start Shmona Esrei. Right? How do we start Shmona Esrei? The Gemara in Brachos says it's not really part of Shmona Esrei. It got tacked on to Shmona Esrei as part of Shmona Esrei. Adonai Svasai Tiftachu Fiyagit Tilasecha, which is from Perek HaTeshuva, Perek Nun Aleph, from Tehillim. The Perek of Tehillim, David HaMelech says, when Nasan HaNavi gives him the Musar and says, Ata HaIsh, you are the man that sinned, and Imamish, Lev Tar Brali Elokim, powerful psukim of tshuva, are all in Perek Nun Aleph of Tehillim. It's a very important Perek, certainly. Getting ready this time of year, pointed out this morning at the Amud Yom Yishir that 49 days to Rosh Hashanah. That's a scary thought, right? From Pesach to Shavuos is from now until Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, my heart is beating faster because of that. I'm nervous. And for a variety of reasons, not because I'm such a tzaddik, for a variety of reasons. But this idea of Adonai Svasai Tiftach Ufi Agit Hilasecha that Chazal put on to Shmona Esrei. Why? Because what is it? It's a plea with Hashem, let me daven. Please let me be able to talk to you. Please listen to the words that I'm saying, even though it's from a mouth that's not worthy of being listened to. And so that's why, one pshat, why this week's parsha is always the parsha after Tisha B'Av. V'eschanan, always after Tisha B'Av, always Shabbos Nachamu. However, there's also another pshat that the Beis Yisrael would often say. It's because in Parshas V'eschanan, we have so many beautiful, beautiful teachings that are so important after Tisha B'Av. For those that sat on the floor for hours on Tisha B'Av morning, ma'am, you go to such a dark place, you feel broken after. You know, some of these kinos are so painful when you remember the tzaros and the suffering of the Jewish people, not only of thousands of years ago. You know, this year we focused on the tzaros that happened to the Jewish people 7 years ago in Itamar, with the Fogel family, with 10 years ago, and Merkaz HaRav, the Talmidim Rav Keres HaRav, 17 years ago, Kobe Mandel. You know, these are names, David Chatuel, his wife Talia, the four little girls. You know, I mean, you know, you go to such a dark place and such a horrible place, and you know, there is the kina when you cry out, Eicha, how could this be? Velo zacharta, and Hashem, you didn't remember the bris hapein abasarim, you didn't remember our mesiras nefesh. How could you not remember the karbanos of 1,000 years ago, of 1,500 years ago, of 10 years ago? How could it be, right? A person can walk out of Tisha B'Av still broken. And the Beis Yisrael says that's why we have Parshas V'eschanan. And the one rule of Kriyas HaTorah, it's not so much that Devarim is before Tisha B'Av, it's that V'eschanan has to be after Tisha B'Av. That the only Parsha in the Torah that can bring real Nechama is the Parsha of V'eschanan. Because what do we have in V'eschanan? We have two things in V'eschanan that are so, so important. The first is, of course, the description of Ma'amad Har Sinai and the Asaras HaDibros. Whereas in last week's Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu gave us a lot of Musar. Right? And it was an overview of really the 40 years and why we were stuck for 40 years. In this week's Parsha, there's a very great focus on Ma'amad Har Sinai and the Asaras HaDibros. And of course, we know Ma'amad Har Sinai and Asaras HaDibros is when we formally became the Am Hashem. We know before that happened, with the Bris Bein Absarim was a promise to bring us into Eretz Yisrael. It was only with the acceptance of Torah that we really became Am Hashem. That's when the Jewish people came into existence. Before that, we were a large tribal family, right? We were the Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yakov. We weren't Am Yisrael yet. And it was only with Kabbalah Satorah we became Am Yisrael. And that was a tremendous commitment, a commitment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite all the horrific tsars we just relived and experienced yesterday, the Ribbono Shel Olam, we know we have that Havtacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never going to abandon us. And that we are the nation of Hashem, and Hashem is our God. And also in this week's parasha, of course, is Shema. The pasuk of Shema Yisrael, the section of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that there is a plan that even though we don't understand why tzaras happen, even though we struggle with it greatly, and Tisha B'Av is the one day of the year when we're given license to scream out and to cry and to rail against God, unfiltered, but nonetheless, comes after Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. one of the greatest statements of faith in the entire Torah. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's all one. The concept of Yichud Hashem, that everything that happens ultimately is all from the Ribbono Shel. And yes, we struggle with it, but we struggle with it because we don't understand, and we know that we don't understand. But every day, the saying of the Shema Yisrael is supposed to be a tremendous chizuk of emunah. That's why we declare it. That's why when a Jew, Rachman al-San, we spoke about it, you know, on Tisha B'Av, I don't want to go back there, the specific examples, but so many Jews, literally thousands of Jews over our long, harsh galus, they gave their lives with the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the ultimate statement of faith. And that's why says Gemara Makos says Chavdalad, that Chavakuk, who prophesied very much for the end of days, he comes and says at the end of days it's all going to be about Emuna. Tzadik b'emuna so yichya. Emuna that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Emuna that we don't turn away from Hashem, because despite the tremendous Hester Panim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us. And that, of course, is the first pasuk of the Haftarah, Nachamu Nachamu Ami Yomar Elokeichem. Nachamu Nachamu Ami Yomar Elokeichem. That you're Ami and I am your God. Those are the two things we learn from the Aseres HaDibros and from Shema Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem Echad, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzisicha Meretz Yisrael, Beis Avodim. Right? The idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us as his nation at Har Sinai, and the idea that we have Emunah, that ultimately everything is from Hashem. And the antithesis of last week's parasha, in Parshas Devarim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Zayin, when we said, Besinas Hashem Osanu, right? When Hashem, that we thought, we said, Hashem hates us, Rachman Otzlan, the first time Tisha B'Av became Tisha B'Av in the Midbar, and the tikkun of that is walking away from a Tisha B'Av and say, despite all the tzaros, Havas Hashem Osanu. I know that Hashem loves us. And again, that's not an easy thing, but that's the avoda that we have to pick ourselves up, and that's why there's a Tu B'Av after there is a Tisha B'Av. Because what was Tu B'Av? Tu B'Av coming up this Friday, right? What is one of the great lessons of Tu B'Av? Because that's when Kalu Meisei HaMidbar. That's when those, in the last year, we know every year, after the Chet HaMeraglin on Tes B'Av, there were people that would lie down, Rachman Litzlav, the night of the ninth B'Av, in graves that they dug for themselves. And some people just wouldn't wake up the next morning. And the last year, they're in the Midbar, people lie down in the graves, and people got up. And so they didn't know. They dug it again the 10th, the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th. When they came to the 15th of the month, they said, okay, we can't be off anymore. We know that it's not the 9th of Av anymore. Look at that full moon. It's a total full moon. It can't be the 9th of Av. And that was a simcha, that Kalu Meisei HaMidbar, that the Meisei HaMidbar, that punishment ended, that tikkun, that fixing that had to be done before we went into the land was done. And so that Klal Yisrael felt that this was a day of simcha, a day that we know we're going to go into the land, a day that we can feel Ahavas Hashem Osanu, and we can try and push ourselves forward. So that's why this is a very important parsha. And I'll tell you that, you know, remember the Yisod from Rabbi Nachum Liebtag, one of my Rabbi Madrich HaKush, that a Yisod Gadol on Sefer Devarim, that we often call Sefer Devarim Mishnah Torah, Deuteronomy, right? What does Deuteronomy mean? Duo means like two, so that it's a repetition of mitzvos that we've had already. That's what very often people say, why Devarim is called Mishnah Torah. But the truth is, you know how many mitzvos are not repeat mitzvos in Devarim? There are many, many, many mitzvos that are first-time mitzvos in Devarim. Parshas Kisetze alone, I think, is over 10% of the mitzvos in the Torah. Like a crazy amount of mitzvahs for the first time in Devarim. So we shared this before from Rav Menachem Liebtag, that why is Devarim called Mishnah Torah? Not because it's a repeat of the other books, but it's a book that we have to repeat. That Mishnah Torah means Sefer Devarim is the book that we have to go over and over and over and over. And it's no coincidence that one of the last mitzvahs in the Torah, the mitzvah of Hakel, when the king would read from the Torah to the Jewish people, what section of the Torah would he read? He would read Sefer Devarim. He would read Mishnah Torah. Because this is what we always have to go over. And of course, there are many mitzvahs, but so much of Sefer Devarim that we have to go over is, of course, the chizuk that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us, the Raya Mehemna, the faithful shepherd, is giving us before we go into Eretz Yisrael. And, you know, same, we're waiting to go to Eretz Yisrael again. Hashem should give us strength that we should go to Eretz Yisrael, Bekar of Mamish. And we need to review these words of Moshe Rabbeinu. And when we do look in the beginning of the parsha, so that's just one fundamental yisod as to why this parsha is so important in terms of the one klal, that always after Tisha B'Av, we come to this parsha. And we have to, again, if we don't have the chance, obviously, to be Mavir Sedra each week, but just take like the Art Scroll of the Gutnik and go through the psukim just in English and try and feel that this is Moshe Rabbeinu talking to the Jewish people before they're going in and how he's pleading with them to know, V'yadata yom v'shevos elavecha, you should know in your mind and bring to your heart. Ata reis aladas, ki Hashem hu Elokim, ein od milvado. If we get a chance, we'll get to that pasuk. That there's nothing in this world, again, aside from the Ribon Shalom. Everything's from Hashem. Again, that's one of the messages of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. In this week's parsha, though, in the end of Perek Gimel, right there, the first page in Parshas Eschanan, in the stone 958-959, the last one before Moshe Rabbeinu like segues into a different part of his speech, he says, "Vaneshev Bagai Mul Beis Pa'or," and we settled in Bagoi opposite Beis Pa'or. We settled in this valley, in this lower area, opposite Beis Pa'or. So there are many interesting drushes on this, and there's one that I saw in the Sefer Lachsos B'Noam Hashem that actually also relates to a famous Kotzker later on in the Parsha that we've spoken about. But we note that the Gemara in Sota Daf Dalet Amud Beis, you know, obviously this connects to the first idea we spoke about of Tefillah and the idea of feeling Ahavas Hashem Osanu, and despite not understanding, pushing through with emuna, which is the challenge of our time. So what's one of the great obstacles to such emuna? So we know it's arrogance. And the Gemara in Sota Daf Dalet Amud Beis tells us, Rabbi Yochanan says, B'shem Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that any person with arrogance is like he worshipped idols. And what's the proof texts? Because in Mishlei Perek Tezayin Pasuk Hey, it says, Tovas Hashem Kol Geva Lev, that it's an abomination to God, anyone with an arrogant heart, right? And in the beginning, actually, of Parshas Ekev, right here in the beginning of Ekev, we have the Pasuk of Lo Savi Toeva El Beisecha, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Vav. And that means don't bring an idol into your house. Halachically, they're fascinating questions. Someone once asked me that, someone in the community asked me that his neighbor went on vacation to Alaska, and because he like took the guy's mail in, the guy brought him back a totem pole. It's a fascinating shaila. And I didn't even, I'm like, yeah, okay. He's like, Rabbi, you know what a totem pole is? I'm like those Indian things? He goes, right, you know what it represents? I'm like, no, what? He goes, the spirit. I'm like, oh, that's a shaila. That's a real shaila. And it wasn't pashut. But then when it turned out, it was a tiny little totem pole. It was really a souvenir. So mitzad din, I told him, if there are any faces, like crack off a little piece, it's okay. You mivatel it. But someone else had a shaila that when he was in India for work, someone else in community, that a coworker gave him mamish, a golden elephant Indian statue. And when I was doing the research, that's mamish and avodah zarah. They still worship. Like, that's not just a souvenir. That's mamish and avodah zarah. So I told him, don't bring it into your house. I said, leave it, like, outside on the lawn. Hide it somewhere. You can't bring it. It's an issa daraisa to bring that into your house. So that's the connection. And he had mamish. He gave it to someone else who mamish put it in a furnace and burned it. Like, mamish, someone who worked in like a factory, mamish had a furnace and took a video of it to show me that they were burning the avodah zarah. But it sounds crazy, but there's avodah zarah in the world. There is avodah zarah in the world. But we know that the Gemara in Sota says, connecting those two psukim, that a person who's arrogant is like he worships idols. And why is that? Because we know, where does arrogance come from? So my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal, often spoke about this, that when God is not at the center of your existence, so that means something else is at the center of your existence. That is a form of foreign worship. You're worshiping something else, not God. So an arrogant person, who is at the center of the arrogant person? Himself. Right, exactly. That's the point. And therefore, person with great arrogance is like an idol worshiper. And in the Sefer Lachsos B'Noam Hashem, he says that we see that in this pasuk, Vaneshev Bagoy, that we dwelt, Bagoy is a lashon of geus, of exaltedness, of feeling high, and that was Mul Beis Pa'ar. And that corresponded to Beis Pa'ar. We know what was Beis Pa'ar. It was a makom avodah zarah, because it is an interesting shaila. Why does the Torah mention Beis Pa'ar, where they worshipped Baal Par? Why is the Torah mentioning a makom of avodah zarah? So he says that it's teaching us a lesson. Vanesha bagai mul Beis Pa'ar. However, right, yeshivim panim la Torah, you can mamish flip this on its head. Because he says, but there's also another way of looking, another way of reading this pasuk. The Gemara in Sota daf hey amid aleph, mamish, the next amud says that there are times that a person has to have a shmini shebishminis of arrogance. A person has to have a 64th of arrogance. When? Only when sinners are making fun of the person. When people who are mushchasim, God forbid, or low moral character, and they denigrate a person for serving Hashem, they denigrate a person for being shomer Torah mitzvos. So they say, not that you, Chas V'Shalom, should go to battle, but the idea that you should feel good about yourself, that you should have what they call gaiva to kedusha, holy arrogance, and the Rambam even paskins this. The Rambam talks about this. He says you have to stay far away from kas. Kas is the most dangerous. We know anger actually is a result of arrogance, right? That's where anger comes from. Because what is anger, right? We've discussed this before. Anger is when the fantasy of the world, the way it ought to be in your mind, is not in reality, right? The example I like to quote is when I picked up my son at 4:30 from JAC, planning to get to the Knick game by 6:30, I mean, that's 2 hours, right? From Mora Avenue to 34th, I mean, that's not bad. And I was going to wait on the street for a half hour. The parking becomes mutter at 7, and then the game starts 7:30. It was my son's first Knick game, and this is a son that actually likes basketball, but doesn't find it boring. You can only find basketball boring if you like hockey. It's the only sport that's faster than it. Baseball, forget about it. Disaster. Like, someone offered me free baseball tickets. And I said, no, last time I went, my sons were climbing over their seats in the third inning. And it was only because my nephews in Israel were like, no, Uncle Mook, let's stay. We want to watch the game. So we made it to the fifth inning, you know, and then we're like, okay, we're done. We're out of here. And there were like 8 home runs in 5 innings. Like, anyone would like baseball, like, the most exciting game ever. My son's like, it was boring. It was horrific. It was like, so I thought 2 hours, no problem, right? Wrong. 4:95. The dreaded helix going into the Lincoln Tunnel. I was on the helix alone, came out an hour and a half. It took me 3 hours to make a trip that without traffic should have been 45 minutes, 50 minutes. So I remember that was the last time I think I remember getting myself real, like I was really getting angry. That when my son was young, was like crying because he was going to be late, and I got so angry, he was like, whoa, Abba, what's going on? Like, he got afraid, like, what? I've never seen you like this. Like, for your kids, because it's only for your kids you get angry, right? Yourself, because you want to give your kids everything, no? You want to give your kids everything in the world. So you get angry about something like that. But that's also from arrogance, because the way that I thought it ought to be didn't happen, so that's when you get angry. So the Rambam says you have to stay away from anger totally, and he says there's no place for anger ever. He says there are places to pretend to anger, but never real anger. But Gaivi says, Shmini Shebishminis. And that's in the Sefer Lachsos B'Noam Hashem. He says, Vaneshev Bagoy. And we dwelled in a place of exaltedness, of geus, of feeling big about ourselves. Why? Because it was Mul Beis Pa'ar. Because we were camped opposite of Makom Avodah Zarah that, and we know Baal Pa'ar was basically what? Anything goes. Right? What was the way to worship Baal Pa'ar? The way to worship Baal Pa'ar, if you remember, already from Mincha, someone's outside. Worshipping Baal Pa'ar is you worshipped it by going to the bathroom on it. That's how you worshipped Baal Pa'ar. Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, in a famous piece in Sichas Musar, says, how can any normal person worship God by that? Okay, we understand going to the bathroom, you say an Asher Yatzar, and, you know, it could be, we're not saying that's how you serve Hashem, but it could be an experience of recognizing Elikus by going to the bathroom, you come out, you say an Asher Yatzar, Bekavana, it's a tremendous bracha, right? The Shulchan Aruch has a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch explaining the meaning of Asher Yatzar, which is a pella, because it's a work of halacha, it's an instruction manual, but yet there's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch explaining the words of Asher Yatzar. It's a pella. It just shows you how chashav Asher Yatzar is. But Mamash, that's how you worship the idol, by going to the bathroom on the idol. That's how you worship the idol. It makes no sense. So that's what Lachzos Ben Hashem says, Vaneshev Bagai Mul Beis Par, that sometimes we have to remember that it's appropriate to have just holy chutzpah, Gaiva de Kedusha. And in fact, some say from the end of the Gemara in Sota, when it talks about all the things that are going to happen in Ikfsa de Mashiach, chutzpah yaski, that chutzpah will be rampant. So some say chutzpah yaski is that the young won't respect the old, and, you know, things that every generation says, oh, we see it now, right? Every generation has been saying that the young don't respect the old, okay? But, you know, whether we're seeing it more now, they saw it 30 years ago, 80 years ago, okay? But the idea, some say chutzpah yaski means that in the end of days, that a person who's really just seeking out Hashem in a beautiful way, in a loving way, is going to need to have a little bit of that chutzpah, even though chutzpah is such an antithetical midah to a person that wants to be a whole person, an Adam HaShalem. But nonetheless, sometimes you're going to have to do it, because when you're living, the Rambam talks about, you know, when you're surrounded in a whole society where there's just degraded midos, and there's, defining the lowest form of culture as culture. So there are times that a person has to have that fortification and that chutzpah, if you will. And this idea, though, that sometimes that arrogance, I mean, we see the idea that arrogance is good, but one of the famous svarts from the Kotzker that we've quoted many times about the danger of arrogance is in Perek Hei Pasuk Hei, page 968, in Revi, Mamish, the Pasuk right before the Aseres Hadibros, right? Because what's that, the first phrase in Perek Hei Pasuk Hei? Anochi Omed Bein Hashem Uveinechem, right? That I stand, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that I stood between you and Hashem, right? But Omed, I was standing, meaning Anochi Omed, I am standing between Hashem and between you. It's like the famous, so the Kotzker says that what stands between a person and God? The sense of Anochi, the sense that it's about you. You know, the Lubavitcher Rebbe one time got a letter from a person. The Lubavitcher Rebbe used to try to respond to all letters at a certain time, a certain tekufa in his nesius, his Rebbe, he responded to every letter he got. And one guy wrote to Lubavitcher Rebbe a letter with his wife, with his kids, with his work, with his shul, with his friends, with mamish, everything. And mamish, a few days later, he got back his letter. But he didn't see, like, the Rebbe didn't respond. It was just his letter. The Rebbe sent his letter back, right? Remember this one? So when the Lubavitch, so he called up the Rebbe's Gabbai, like, what is this? I don't understand. I sent the Rebbe a letter, he just sent it back to me. So he said, 1 second, what's your name? He came back, he said, no, the Rebbe said he answered your letter. Look very carefully. And what did the Rebbe do? The Rebbe underlined every time he wrote I. And there was preposterous amounts of the word I. The Lubavitcher was telling him the problem. The problem with your wife, the problem with your kids, the problem with your job, the problem with your show. It's not that one, the other one. It's you. It's the I. And that's what the Kotzker says, Anochi Omid Ben Hashem Uveinechem. And that's the idea. The first pshat we said, V'neishav Agai Mol Beis Pa'ar, that arrogance is a form of Avodah Zarah. And that's why the Anochi Omid Ben Hashem Uveinechem and the Aseres Hadibros begin with Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That what is the real Anochi? What is the real sense of identification that you have? Is Hashem Elokecha. That should be your sense of Anochi. That should be, you know, what you identify with. It's getting late. I apologize. Just one quick thing then. I think it's very, very interesting. Perek Dalad Pasuk Chaf is when we come to the mitzvah and the avera of Baltosif and Baltigra. Back to page 958. Lo sosifu al adavar sharnochi mitzaveh eschem velo sigru mimanu, that you should not add on to anything that I commanded to you, and you should not take away. So first of all, the shaila is, why lo tigra? Why does it have to be a special mitzvah of don't take away? Hashem gave mitzvahs, of course, don't take away. What's the shaila? So some explain that, no, there has to be a mitzvah of lotigra, baltigra, don't take away from mitzvahs, because sometimes you think, what does the pasuk say? V'lo sigru imenu l'shmaras mitzvahs Hashem Elokecha. Don't take away from mitzvahs, even when you think taking away is going to help you do what? L'shmaras mitzvahs Hashem Elokecha. that you have to be careful, that the system is a system given to us by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if you think, you know, if I just did away with this one mitzvah, if I did away with this one halacha, everything would be better, understand that's very dangerous. And, you know, there are many, many examples that we see over the past 100 years of different groups, we don't want to get into the details, that spoke, you know, if this one thing would be okay, then everything would be different. And they took away one little thing, and it was just the floodgates, unfortunately. Others say that no, the reason why Lo Sigru, really Lo Sigru is about Bal Tosef, meaning the Torah says Lo Sosifu, why don't you add? Don't add to anything because of Lo Sigru Mimenu. Because when you add, eventually by you adding, what are you going to do? You're eventually going to take away. Meaning if you don't think the system is good enough, you think, what's Bal Tosef? I know better than the system. Right? Talking about the arrogance. Vanesha Bagai Mulbeis Pa'or, when a person is adding on, why are they adding on? Because I know better. I know what's more important. Right? I know that the Torah says X, but I think it should be X plus one. So that's tremendous arrogance. And a person that's eventually going to do that is going to lead to what? Is going to lead to Velo Sigru. There's a danger that when you add, you just subtract, which we know is the famous case of Adam and Chava. Right? Because what happened with the Nachash? The Nachash pushes Chava to touch the tree. It says, look, you didn't die. And what's the famous measure? Said, why did that work? Because what did Adam tell Chava? What? If you touch it, you're going to die. And look, you touch it, you didn't die. Oh, look at that. And then remember, that's why we said when it comes to Matan Torah, which we remember in this week's Parsha, right, in Yisro, that Hashem speaks to the men and to the women. Remember that? Beis Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael, why speak separately to the men and the women? So we said once a pshat, I think it was from Rav Yitzchak Tursky in his Amita Shel Torah, because, you know, that Kabbalah Satar is supposed to be the tikkun of the chait of Adam v'Chava. So part of the chait of Adam v'Chava was Hashem only spoke to Adam, and Adam didn't transmit it properly to Chava. So here we're fixing that sin. Hashem says, I'm speaking to you both. I'm speaking to everyone directly. There is another pshat also. That when, aside from the arrogance, Shabbo, and that adding would lead to subtracting, is that, you know, I heard this idea from my good friend Rav Shalom Rasner, and I saw Dubna Magen Mashal on it, and it's a beautiful idea, it found in a number of different places, that Torah is the perfect recipe for life, right? Whether a person is ill, right, when your person's ill and you're told to take the antibiotics, you know, once in the morning, once at night, right? You get 20 pills, 10 days, once in the morning, once at night. So when you get the pills, you decide, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to knock it all out at once. I'm going to take all 20 pills now. What happens to such a person, Rahman al-San? I don't know what happens to the person. I just know it's very bad. Probably have to call poison control. No? I don't know. Anyone? The doctors amongst us, right? So I think that you would have to, the pashas, you'd have to do something like that. Or think about you cooking with a recipe, and a recipe asks for a certain spice. And you say, you know what, I want a lot of the spice. And you add instead of one teaspoon, you add a cupful. What happens? Look, I don't know how to cook much, but I know this. I know when you're supposed to add a teaspoon of garlic powder, or a teaspoon of Cajun pepper, and you add a cupful, what's going to happen? The food's going to be inedible. So Lo Sisifu means that the Torah is the perfect recipe for a life of simcha, a life of fulfillment, a life of tanug, a life of pleasure. When a person's Lo Sisifu, and that's why, you know, we have to be very careful. You know, Chumras, my brother, points out in the introduction to his Sefer 24.7.12, his Halacha Sefer, from the Chazon Ish, that just taking on Chumras is foolishness. It's foolishness. It corrupts Torah. And unfortunately, there are people that I've known over the years that, you know, grow up in a certain milieu and being taught X, Y, and Z. Like, this is like Yaharik Val Yavar. I tell them after that, at best is a minhag. That's at best what your Rebbe decided. You know, they thought it was like one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, one of the 613 mitzvahs. And when that's something that he can't live with and doesn't make any sense, they throw out everything. Rahman al-Tzlan, that happens. Rahman al-Tzlan, that happens. So Losu Sifu means the Torah is a perfect system. There are Gzeres to Rabbanan, and there are Minhagim. We have to understand. We have to understand. But at the same time, Losu Sifu. We have to understand, you know, sometimes chumras on chumras on chumras, or mamish mevi lidei kulus mevi lidei kilkel. Not only brings the great destruction and degradation of Torah. So again, not going to chazer over everything, but just to remember the major yisod, I believe, that I wanted to share tonight from the Beis Yisrael, And from the Sanz Rav, why is Parshas Veschanan always the week after Tisha B'Av Mamash, the one Klal Gadol of the whole Kriyas HaTorah schedule? Because this is a Parsha we have to review, because this is a Parsha of Emuna. It's a Parsha of Chizuk, Nachmu, Nachmu, Ami, Yomer Elokechem, because we read of the Asaret Sadibros. Not only the Asaret Sadibros, we read about Maimed Har Sinai, we read about the preparation for it, we read about the love and the Hachana for it, and at the same time, we also remember Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and remember the Koach HaTefillah. Even though we just spent a day where it seemed like our Tefillah's Gur Nishelfen doesn't help, Chas V'Shalom, our Tefillah's do help. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we don't understand why, but Be'ez Hashem, the day will come soon that we'll see all of the effect of all our Tefillah's and see a world with no more tzaras. U'mach Hashem Dima Me'al Kalpanim, Hashem will bring us the ultimate consolation and remove all tears from all faces. Shkoyach.